from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
I've been speaking with a number of people on the other side. We've had conversations ongoing for a while with regard to making sure that we do due diligence here. And I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to, but not more than 1 week.
The drama continues. Happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You indeed are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee has moved Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination to the Senate floor, but Senate Republican leaders agree to a new FBI background investigation of Judge Kavanaugh. That was Senator Jeff Flake, who has called for this FBI investigation, as you heard, for not more than 1 week. And one would think this is all that's going on in our nation's capital, but the House has been very busy on various policy efforts. In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. And Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser Christine Blasey Ford, you know, both delivered powerful, heartfelt testimonies yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And as you can imagine, the leftist mainstream media, well, unhinged. Their bias has been exposed yet once again. We'll talk with Rich Noyes of the Media Research Center. And what effects are these hearings having on you emotionally, personally, spiritually? You know, as a believer, this is intense. What impact is it having on your families, your sons, your daughters? How are you talking with your children about these very graphic conversations and just about our democracy in general? We'll talk with Elizabeth Johnson, the activist mommy, a little later in the program. And of course, we'll take your calls. And we are raising funds, matching funds. Text FRC Relief, all one word, FRC Relief, to hashtag 41444, dollar for dollar donations, partnering along with Samaritan's Purse for those that have been impacted greatly by the flooding and the Hurricane Florence in North Carolina and South Carolina. And of course, all of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at R. Jones Reports. Well, as I said at the top of the show here, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted 11 to 10 earlier today along party lines, as you would imagine, regarding Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh to advance the nomination to the full Senate. Now, of course, the latest hitch in this is that there will be a week for another. This will be the seventh FBI investigation on these most recent allegations from the accuser. Well, with us now is Congressman Ralph Norman. He represents the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina. He's a member of the House Freedom Caucus, former business person there in South Carolina. Congressman Norman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wow. A lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, it really is. You know, as you mentioned earlier in your show, for children to hear what's going on, the questions, is really sad with Judge Kavanaugh. And I hope the Americans are watching with what's happening to a fine man that should not be happening by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, you know, it's been just full-blown theater and drama here it's been 81 days since President Trump nominated Judge Kavanaugh to this position. He's answered more questions than all other nominees combined. And we have seen lots of opportunities to hear from Judge Kavanaugh. And then, of course, yesterday, Dr. Ford, we got to hear her testimony in all of this. What are your thoughts about this most recent call to have another FBI investigation?
Well, it's another delay tactic. If you look at what's happened over the since Senator Feinstein withheld the letter and delayed basically what she should have done back 6 weeks ago in releasing it to the other members of the committee, and now to postpone it another week, they've got the media on their side to you know, come out with more allegations to slander this man. And the only thing an FBI investigation will do is, as Judge Kavanaugh said, they can take testimony. But he's been investigated six other previous times. And to do this just gives the left time to destroy a man and his family. And you could see the emotion that he had. And not that Dr. Ford had emotion, but, you know, where else can you write a letter and convict a man? I mean, it would be thrown out in court, and nobody condones violence against women or in any manner. But what's going on now is not fair, and it shows you what the left's agenda is. This is all about Roe v. Wade, and I think what the public can expect is 7 days of just nonstop accusations from that you will see on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC. And it's a travesty for the judicial system and for a fine family man.
And doesn't it impact those that might be thinking about running for office or getting involved with government, wanting to make a difference? I mean, it would cause folks to think twice.
Oh, my. Yeah. And, you know, it's hard enough to get candidates to run for office. And to have a man like this to face a verbal allegation that nobody collaborates, and it should not happen. And but I tell you, we're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war that we got to win. It makes me want to fight harder because I'm tired of it. And I think the Americans, once they see and get, I guess, tuned into what's happening, everybody ought to go to the polls and vote the liberals out of office who are doing this. And the fact that it shows you the depths they're willing to go. Lindsey Graham put it greatly when he just said there's no excuse for it. And this is a orchestrated outrage against a man, and really they used Dr. Ford. She has been played like they're trying to tear down, you know, Judge Kavanaugh.
You know, I've been watching the markets today, and Congressman, in spite of the madness amid the Kavanaugh nomination, the market's really doing well today. The stock's closing out strong in the third quarter. And the Dow just 2 weeks ago reached an all-time high again. And this is, you're a part of the Small Business Committee, and wanted to talk about the tax reform 2.0. But isn't it amazing that our economy continues to do well? I think it's not the news, oftentimes they say, it's not the news that measures how we're doing as a nation, but oftentimes it is our markets. What say you?
Well, as I get around the 5th District and talk to businesses, they are so excited about the tax cuts. The fact that we made them permanent today, it's got to pass the Senate, but I think hopefully they will do that. Giving money back to the taxpayers who made it is such a great thing. It averaged right at $1,900 for the District 5, and along with that is the cuts in regulations that this president has done through executive order has been phenomenal. I looked at the Federal Registry not long ago, and at the end of the Obama era, it was 962 pages. Now it's 668. So regulations are coming off the books, and the businesses that are that tell me how excited they are, they feel like they can invest equity in their companies now that a regulation is not going to put them out of business. And the tax cuts are just a great thing that we have given what's rightfully the American people's to begin with.
And you got to vote on that today, this new legislation, the tax reform 2.0. I believe it's the Small Business Tax Cuts Act of 2018, H.R. 6760. Which will make the individual rates and reductions and credit structures and pass through qualified business income deductions there. And you got to to be a part of that here today, but you wouldn't know it. I think the vote was 22 to 191 in the Republican-led House.
No Democrats voted for it, the same way that no Democrats voted to fund the Goodlatte bill, which funded the wall. And so, again, I just hope the American people are watching because, you know, this isn't crumbs, as Ms. Pelosi said. This is giving money back. The seven of the 10 brackets that were cut 3%. The expensing that so many businesses are taking advantage of. The economy numbers don't lie. And that's just what's so exciting about it. And there's more to come, provided we keep the House. We're not going to just stop here. There's more we can work on. And we're pretty much in unison for it. All the Republicans are.
Now, there's also the Family Savings Act, which expands several existing retirement and education tax-deferred savings accounts. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's I didn't see the specifics of that, to be honest with you. I've been so engrossed in this Kavanaugh hearing, I didn't. It was put out pretty quickly, so I don't know the details on it. But I know from the education accounts, the HSA accounts were expanded. Not sure if the capital gains was included in this, but we got a list 2 days ago, and it expanded what we already had on the books that were due to expire in 2024.
Right. And can you explain just briefly in our remaining time, Chromnibus, C-H-O-M-N-I-B-U-S. Some may not know what that is.
Spell that again.
Well, the CR, the Omnibus, they're calling it the Omnibus. Chromnibus,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the whole bill that was considered when we first took it up back, I guess, a couple of months ago, was everything combined. The HSS was included, the military funding was included. The omnibus is just a catch-all name for all of our budget. I voted against it because they continued to hold the military hostage. They continued to tack Christmas tree gifts for the different congressmen. And we've got to get away from that. The system's broken, and it's not something that we can sustain. I wasn't sent to Congress to bankrupt the country, and that's what's happening. We've got to get our appropriations where the military is set aside on its own and where we get the Health and Services Committee separate. But this was kind of a overall package that is going to add to our deficit and something I couldn't support. But it passed. The military's funding, the $80 billion, $850 billion was put into law, and which is a good thing. The military has been starved over the last 8 years.
Well, Congressman, my very last comment, I went to University of Missouri. Guess what? We're playing South Carolina tomorrow.
It's going to be interesting. I know who you're pulling for.
Yeah, I have a feeling I know who you're pulling for, too. Hey, Congressman, thank you so much for being with us on Washington Watch.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. Well, coming up next, the mainstream media has exposed its bias once again. In the midst of the Kavanaugh-Ford controversy, we'll talk with Rich Noyes of the Media Research Center after the break. This is the Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's great to be along with you here today. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
She comes across very credible.
It's difficult to watch somebody who has a credible story of being victimized.
The credibility of her witness, her testimony is just unparalleled.
You roared with anger, unjudicious, raw anger.
The most striking thing for me was his anger. The way he portrayed himself at the outset of this hearing today, he looked unhinged.
He was angry and belligerent, and it was kind of scary.
But after everything that has happened to this man and his family, doesn't Judge Kavanaugh have a right to be angry, if not on the absolute edge? Yeah. You're not a way in. His contributor at the Washington.
Kind of angry, kind of scary. Judge Brett Kavanaugh, as you have all seen, righteous anger on display yesterday as he sought to defend his character. Well, it exposed the liberal media bias yet again, that he would attempt to defend himself and his character. Well, with us now is Rich Noyes, Research Director at the Media Research Center. Rich, happy Friday to you. Glad to have you along.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It's sometimes, Rich, you know, we've known each other for probably a decade. I don't know where to begin other than here we go again, and it just continues.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like this was one of the grubbier moments in Washington, D.C. politics that has been known for grubby moments over the last 10, 20, 30, I don't know how many years. The Kavanaugh story became a major dominating, 24/7 cable story almost 2 weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. And we were able to, you can't really take cable news apart and go line by line through it because there's so much of it. We did do it with the broadcast networks. And what we found was, 344 minutes of coverage through Monday. That's when we stopped so we could write it up and publish it. That's an awful lot of coverage. It's bigger than most of these controversies you've seen over the last several years. But what was amazing was looking at all that, it was mostly a regurgitation of these charges against Judge Ford or Judge Kavanaugh from Ford. But there was almost no airtime on the facts that had come out that would have been supportive of him. You know, the idea that you had these witnesses who were not corroborating, those were available to be reported on back in one of the first couple of days of this. It got a total of 5 minutes of coverage out of that 344. That's less than 2% of the coverage. His denials mm-hmm. were usually a sentence or a clause. They were pushed, you know, they were mentioned to get it on the record, and then they moved right on to detailing these salacious charges. That was the environment going into these hearings. It was very one-sided. You know, the media was primed to believe Dr. Blasey Ford. They were primed to brand Brett Kavanaugh as some kind of a criminal, and I think what happened was, you know, I think she did give a credible performance, but then he gave a credible performance. It's very credible to be angry at having these charges said about you, particularly if you come armed with calendars and witness statements that says it never happened. That should have been enough for the media, but instead they decided they were going to take issue with his anger. I think that is incredible and shows you which side they were on.
And, you know, I noticed here on some of the channels making this Kavanaugh confirmation process about race. What's up with that?
No, I didn't see that. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, everything's about race. Everything's about feelings. I mean, it can't be about the facts of this case, which is, you know, he came to the Senate with a strong pedigree, strong credentials. They had sort of the conventional round of hearings, and he was going to pass. Then this comes up. It's what seems like a very credible woman with a story without any evidence or ammo or specifics to back it up, leaving open the question, you know, could she be mixed up? Could she be thinking of something else? Then he comes in righteously angry about the charge, because it is a very damaging charge. It is something you don't want to sort of snicker at or be cavalier about. And he comes with evidence. You know, to me, that's the way you'd sort of frame this coverage, but that's not the way the media framed it. They wanted to sort of get onto ancillary issues where she represented all women, or, you know, he had to, you know, suffer because men in the past have done bad things. Well, did he do it or did he not do it? And that should be the only question, you know, that would matter in a factual, non-emotional adjudication.
Right. And I guess what I was referring to is I heard it several times. Oh, it's just a bunch of old white guys that's going to gang up on Dr. Ford, you know, and making some of this about race. Well, in over and over again, kind of seeing manufactured outrage. At least that's how it came across to me.
Yeah, I guess I heard that as being it's all a bunch of men as opposed to the race part is about the gender part. But it's the same thing. You know, that those are you know, buzzwords that basically mean, you know, a bunch of Republicans, a bunch of Trump voters. You know, you can't let those people decide things. You got to sort of move it on to sort of the new generation of people, which is much more diverse, more women oriented. Well, but again, you know, what's wrong with these people? What have these Republican senators ever done that has been unfair or injudicious in the past? I mean, you know, these sort of blanket condemnations of people because of the groups they belong to, as opposed to them individually, I think is taking justice and the idea of justice in a very strange direction. And the media are certainly part of that process.
And it was very powerful to see Judge Kavanaugh's wife over his shoulder there, you know, very tearful, and hearing him talk about his daughter praying for Dr. Ford. And, you know, only a few people covered that.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the more powerful moments of this. And I think it would have been nice, you know, we'll see if they get any interviews of the family after this is over with, because they've suffered greatly because of all the threats that have come their way, all the vitriol that have come their way. You know, that is part of the story as well. And it's not, you know, it's not being covered.
Rich Noyes, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Rich Noyes, research director at the Media Research Center, always in the know on these kinds of issues. Well, how is this impacting you? What effects is it having on you, your heart, your soul? What are you talking with your children about? How are you talking about? We'll talk with Elizabeth Johnson, activist mommy here in just a minute. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You'll find all the great information. And also, give it a text, 41444. We'll donate FRC relief.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello, because I voted for them. I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. I hope the American people can see through this sham, that you knew about it and you held it. You had no intention of protecting Dr. Ford. None. She's as much of a victim as you are. God, I hate to say it, because these have been my friends. But let me tell you, when it comes to this, you're looking for a fair process. You came to the wrong town at the wrong time, my friend.
I think a lot of folks were cheering Senator Lindsey Graham on that moment. On that moment in time, I think he expressed a lot of heartfelt feelings for a lot of folks, and you can tell it wasn't scripted. His came from the heart. The other side came from a script. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. And right now, joining us is Elizabeth Johnston, fondly known as the activist mommy. Elizabeth, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Russ. Thank you. It's an honor.
Well, I wanted to have you on because, you know, we've talked about this throughout the show leading up to now from, you know, political points of view and whatnot, but I would like to talk with you about the impact of the family. What impact, what effect is this having on the family? And I'm feeling kind of anxious. This whole week, it's been rough, and I'm not the woman or the man behind the desk there in the room. Mm-hmm. And we'd just like to hear what you've got to say.
Well, men should feel anxious in this environment. As long as women who accuse men of sexual assault are believed without evidence or due process, our dads are not safe, our husbands aren't safe, our brothers aren't safe, our sons aren't safe. This is you know, political warfare. That's what the Me Too movement has become. And I warned about this last year when the Me Too movement first surfaced. I wanted it to be a good thing. I hoped it was a good thing. And we were actually going to start exposing some of these progressive perverts. But it turns out, just as I warned, and it's actually the most viral video I've ever done, 16 million views, I warned that it was simply political warfare by radical feminists to push men out of places of power, which is exactly what we've seen them do. They're going to make sure they use sexual assault, groundless sexual assault charges, to push good men like Brett Kavanaugh, Roy Moore, out of office.
And you've done a little research on just, I think most really know at the heart of this is about abortion. And, you know,
yeah.
While she may have well been assaulted and we never want to take that away, and she certainly was very emotional about that, we know that the Democrats don't legislate very well, but they do it through the courts. And they're fearful of losing their leverage in the courts. And what have you found on that?
Yeah, well, Dianne Feinstein knew about this alleged assault a month ago, and that would have been the time to, if there was actually true concern for Mrs. Ford, that would have been the time to pursue this. And Dianne Feinstein didn't pursue it because this is not about Mrs. Ford. This is not about protecting women from sexual assault. This is about keeping Kavanaugh off of the Supreme Court because these feminazis want to keep the right to murder children through abortion. You know, you just got to love these Democrats pretending that they are outraged by sexual immorality when the Democrat Party is the party of adultery, sodomy, porn stars, baby killers, child drag queens, vile Hollywood obscenity, violent bondage porn, and here they want to think they're actually concerned about whether Brett Kavanaugh is sexually immoral or not. What a joke. This is political warfare. I'm calling it political gang rape of Brett Kavanaugh.
And you know, how do we have these conversations with our kids?
You know, I just think that our kids need to see us rising up and standing for, you know, for truth, standing for honesty, standing for what's right, standing against abortion. Mrs. Ford, who testified against Brett Kavanaugh yesterday, she works for a company that, from what I understand, solely produces the RU486 abortion pill. Now, that is really quite the coincidence, is it not? And so, you know, we've raised our children on the front lines of abortion clinics, offering help and hope and the gospel of Jesus Christ to women as they go in to slaughter their unborn children. I think the best thing we can do for our children is to let them watch us engage in the battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you? We're up against a break. Can you hold on just a little bit and we'll continue
sure.
our conversation? All right. You're listening to Washington Watch. We're talking with Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy. And we're going to go to the phone lines as well. I want to hear from you. How are you explaining what's going on with this controversy in your family? Do you have concerns about your children, about your daughters, about your sons? Where are you in this struggle? You know, I feel the intensity of this. And I've been known to, I feel emotion. I feel what's going on around me pretty intensely. So I'd like to talk with you about it. The phone number is 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We'll continue our conversation with the activist mommy when we return.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Well, round and third, heading towards home. It's Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're talking with Elizabeth Johnston, also known as the Activist Mommy. Let me read you here a statement issued by Tony Perkins today. After what had to be three of the worst weeks of his life, Brett Kavanaugh and his family are finding out that the path to a Supreme Court appointment is exacting a price no American should have to pay. Judge Kavanaugh's 10-year-old daughter suggesting that they pray for Dr. Ford tells you a lot about how the family is handling all of this. Elizabeth, thanks for holding on. That was a shining moment for me yesterday in these hearings. Yeah,
I wept like a baby during that portion of his testimony when he shared about how his 10-year-old daughter asked for them to please pray for the lady, Mrs. Ford, who was accusing him and what we believe to be a false accusation of him. And, you know, it was definitely telling about their family and their priorities. It's my understanding that media has been pretty ruthless outside of their home, and Mrs. Kavanaugh has been taking them cupcakes and whatnot and just really showing them love in some very, very difficult situations. But, you know, I just want to point out that this whole Believe Women, Believe a Survivor movement is just political warfare against anyone that the radical feminist movement wants to get rid of and can't find dirt on. The problem was Brett Kavanaugh really was so squeaky clean, lived such a squeaky clean life, they couldn't find anything on him, and they had to derail this appointment. And so they made up stuff, it appears, in order to keep their abortion rights firmly enshrined into law. They don't actually believe women, Russ. You know, they didn't believe the woman when it was a pro-abort like Bill Clinton, who allegedly, you know, sexually assaulted those other women. They didn't believe those women. They only believe women when their right to kill babies is at risk. And they want to use this movement as a form of political warfare against our values.
Well, Elizabeth Johnston, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us on Washington Watch. And folks, go to her Facebook page and follow on Twitter. You won't be disappointed. Lots of great information there. Thank you so much for being with us. All right. Have a great day. God bless you, too. Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy. Well, let's go to Mississippi and talk with John. Hi, John. Welcome to Washington Watch. Hi, John.
Can you hear me?
I sure can, loud and clear. I'm good. How are you?
Okay. Good. I'm going to preface when I say this, I'm going to come back and share something with you. First of all, Ms. Ford's a liar. She's a co-chair for a committee for Soros. She works for a company that does RU4. She's one of the nasty women in that that had that march. She came there with a frumpy dress. She came there, no makeup, and she's from California, and a lot of California girls dress up, especially like that. Mm-hmm. She lied and said she was afraid to take a plane. She was going to drive. She told so many lies. She had no kind of evidence. And when you think about hell, and, you know, us as men, we think, well, hell must be filled up with men. The most saddest thing in this world almost makes me cry is to know there's a lot of women that are going to go to hell. Mm. She bears false witness. She tried to destroy somebody. And unless she repents, she's going to hell like anybody else.
You know, John, I did hear some others comment her dress and the way she presented herself yesterday was different than how she's looked recently. So it's an interesting, interesting perspective that maybe,
And she's a doctor. Right. She's from Stanford. She graduated from Stanford, and she flies to Tahiti and every place else around in Hawaii and whatnot. She lied.
Right. All right, John, thank you so much. Let's go to David in Oklahoma. Hi, David. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. There's a few things I wanted to mention, but I'll just mention one, and that was yesterday. I didn't realize the hearings, or I forgot about the hearings were going on at the same time, but I guess it would have been a great time to have done this. I made up a sign of encouraging or reminding Republicans to get out, to vote, to elect, to get some backbone, you know, to engage. I put on the sign, you know, 2016 is over, 2018 is here, and just reminding them of certain things. And I went and stood on a busy intersection of my city, and I probably, I'm sure, got several times over what I would have done if I'd have done something like that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all.
Right.
I do.
Go ahead.
You there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anytime I think between now and their decision next week, if we could take a moment, literally take a moment, get to our knees or just stop and pray for the situation. And that is all. Thank you very much.
All right. That's David in Oklahoma. Thanks, David. Very good insights. Let's go to Debbie in Tennessee. Hi, Debbie. Appreciate you taking time to call us here on Washington Watch today.
Hi, Russ. Enjoy your show most of the
Thank
time. Right now it's a little unnerving with all of this going on. Listen, Russ, I was just wondering, is there not somebody that has the ability to put a stop to all this? And if so, why aren't they?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Madness with the...
The
Democrats have gone mad.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Debbie,
I'm
as
sorry,
a, as
go
a
f-
Debbie, as a female, did you watch any of the hearings yesterday?
I only got to see bits and parts because I was at work, and I could go in the break room occasionally, and they had it on the television. But a very, very close friend of mine did watch all of it, and we talked about it last night on the phone. And she said that she just cried and cried, and that it literally made her sick at her stomach. Mm-hmm. The way they were treating him, and
well, I'm curious. You know, I have two daughters, and I've got two sons, and I have concerns at different areas for all of them. My daughters different concerns as a father, and my sons as well. And I'm just curious, you know, as a female, you know, we never want to underestimate or devalue the power of unwanted sexual advance or a sexual assault. You know, as a father, I feel very strongly about that. I'm just curious, what say you in that front?
Well, luckily, I'm past the childbearing age, and I have a son grown, but he doesn't have any children. So I don't have to deal with that right now, but my heart goes out to all of you who do, because I would be very concerned. First of all, I would take my child out of public school if they were in a public school. And second of all, Russ, it's just gotten so terrible. It's sad to say, but I'm kind of glad I don't have grandchildren nowadays to raise or to worry about, you know.
Right.
But, you know, that would be a very hard thing. I wish I could give you some insight there. I just don't really know how to answer that at the moment. But it's a lot to think about, that's for sure.
All right, Debbie in Tennessee, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate that. Let's go back to Mississippi and talk with Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I want to kind of spin off the comment that Ms. I think it's Robertson that you had on.
Elizabeth Johnston?
Johnston, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She says that we're in a political war. We're also, and we have been, we've been in an ideological war for quite some time. But, you know, the Beavis and Butthead mentality of freedom that we have sown for the last four decades, the crop is starting to come in a full measure. And the incivility, just the lack of sense of propriety that we've cultivated over the last four decades, we're starting to see the fruit of that. Mm-hmm. And it's an ideological separation that I don't know how you bridge a gap that's that wide and that's that deep. And it is. It's a political war, an ideological war. And I think the only instrument at this juncture that we're even capable of approaching this is the first sentence of the Declaration of Independence. But I think we're so disconnected from even what that says. We don't even realize that it pertains to the circumstances that we find ourselves right now, because we are going to eventually have to have men and women who understand those words and who will articulate it, that we've reached a threshold of separation, that we can't continue to let ourselves be drugged into an abyss. And right. It's not really that complicated. It's just a matter of being associated with your history.
Yeah. Excellent insights. Appreciate that so much, Jim, in Mississippi. Getting some great insights here today on Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Let's go to Jose in Virginia. Hi, Jose. I think we lost Jose. Okay. All right, let's go to Charlinda in Texas.
Hello. How are you today, Russ?
You know, I'm probably like you and everybody else, just trying to take all this in. How about you?
Yeah, I think we're all stymied here. I wanted to say something about her plane ride. She very nonchalantly said something, and then she said, well, you know, I was just about to get on a plane. And nobody picked up on it. Nobody asked about it. And if she's so afraid of riding in a plane, which I'm terrified of getting on a plane. And I thought, you know, she's not very afraid of flying because she would not have been so nonchalant. She would have been all weepy and, you know, she would have gotten upset. But she said, I was about to get on a plane, and he stopped me. This was talking about the person who was giving her the lie detector test.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. Now, do you have, how are you talking with this with your family?
I am alone. My son committed suicide about a little over four years ago, and my mother is dead, and my I have an aunt, but she won't talk to me about this. She's not interested.
In some ways, you don't have to deal with it with your kids. Charlinda, thank you so much, I'm sorry about your son, and I appreciate you sharing that. That's tough. Charlinda in Texas, thank you so much. Let's go to Carol in Texas. Go back to Texas. Hi, Carol. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I watched portions of the hearing yesterday off and on, and then I went back yesterday afternoon, and I could not be more proud of Lindsey Graham or of Brett Kavanaugh and their response when they addressed the Senate. I was disgusted at the way that he was treated, at the way that she behaved and stood there. And there were too many inconsistencies. There were too many things that couldn't be remembered.
Right.
But yet other details were just, you know, and she talked about the amygdala and the, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, lady, seriously, I was just disgusted. But I'll tell you this. I have three granddaughters. I have a 6-year-old granddaughter, a 12-year-old, and a 16-year-old. And if something like that were to happen to one of my grandkids, I don't know that I would be walking free.
I understand that.
I feel that strongly. I feel that strongly. And my son is military, and he has said, if anything ever happened to one of my girls and I knew who it was, I would be going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's folks with you there, Carol. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call. Thank you for those very good comments. Real quick in Georgia, let's go to Jessica. Real quick, Jessica, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Real quick.
I did listen in yesterday, and I don't understand the hold up on it and the whole let's get it, you know, the FBI investigation, because, I mean, there's a process for a reason, and there's a reason why the prosecutor said, you know, that she wouldn't even seek a search warrant is what she told the representatives yesterday, but yet we still want to go forward and just ruin somebody's good name. It's just, it's very troubling that. So you're saying, you know, they're saying, essentially saying your reputation stands for nothing. Your life stands for nothing. It amounts to nothing when it comes to one word and politics and, you know, having our way.
Thank you, Jessica. We're out of time. Folks, it's been good to be with you here today. Tough topics. Hey, let's show our FRC strength. Text FRC relief to hashtag 41444. FRC relief, hashtag 41444. Let's show our strength and help those folks in South and North Carolina. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. If the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you on Monday. God.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.